Now to the birds, where the news is not so good. The call of a cerulean warbler may soon be heard only in recordings. Imagine the northern lake without the common loon. In a new report, the Audubon Society projects that climate change is likely to chase about half of the approximately 650 species in the bird population of North America to new habitats. Dr. Gary Langham, vice president and chief scientist of the National Audubon Society, has for the first time mapped this bird and climate data, and the visual impact of the effect, he says, is shocking.
When we found that nearly half of all the birds in North America are going to be at serious risk from climate change, that was really a dramatic moment. And in addition, 126 of those birds had a result that I really wasn't expecting. When you think about mountaintop species, it's not hard to imagine that climate change will cause them to lose range considerably as they get pushed up the mountain. They literally run out of places to go. But we don't typically associate that with birds in the lowlands. The study showed that for 126 of our birds, some of our most beloved birds like the eagle and brown pelican and common loon, that in most cases the range is actually just shrinking without anywhere to go. And so perhaps that was the most surprising thing of all. When we thought about the dramatic results of half the birds, you know, at first that is, of course, a gut punch and quite shocking as well. On the other hand, when you start looking at all the other studies done on climate change for plants and animals, both in the U.S. and abroad, you find that they're really all telling you the same story of somewhere between 40 and 70% of whatever organisms are being looked at are at serious risk from climate change.
And is that because of the temperature or because of food supply or because of available breeding sites?
Yeah, it could be a combination of those things. And as you mentioned before, it's very complex. And one of the great things about the Audubon Report is it translates a lot of that complexity, the highest level building blocks that nature depends on of temperature, precipitation, and seasonality. What we did was we combined thousands and thousands of observations over the last 30 years for each species, related it to those climate variables. And the neat thing is you can project it back onto a map that's much easier to understand and interpret than a series of numbers.
Well, before we talk about the data, the big data visualization here, which I think is the other piece of the story, let's look at some other species, because I think there are specific species where food supply is really the issue here. Give me an example there.
Well, some of the things we're seeing today as an impact, direct impact of climate change are changes in ocean temperature. So Atlantic puffins, for example, in Maine, this year was pretty good, but the last 2 years, the waters were so warm that the fish population shifted and the parents were bringing back fish that were too big for the chicks to eat. And this was having severe impacts, including deaths of the chicks.
That's a really subtle impact and something that you would not really expect necessarily to be the climate change consequence. That's sort of fascinating. What about insect populations and the impact on bird species that rely on insects for food?
Yeah, it's not hard to imagine that these broad building blocks like temperature and precipitation that are so dramatically disrupting birds will, of course, disrupt everything the birds depend on. And for that matter, everything that people depend on as well.
How common is the rufous hummingbird or the three-toed woodpecker? And is the threatening of those species a matter of a large population, plummeting in some sense?
Yeah, so both of those species are examples of birds that the study found is going to be at risk from climate change and have dramatic losses through the end of the century. You know, it's not hard to imagine that for the hummingbird, this could also impact the flowering patterns and timing of the nectar-giving plants that they depend on. And for the woodpecker, I'm glad you mentioned that. So 13 species of woodpecker are included in the study that are going to be dramatically impacted by climate. And what's not included in our study, but that is related to climate, are things that impact the trees they depend on. When you get the tree die-offs, you start getting more insects coming in to attack them, more fires, things like that. So starting with the results of our study, climate change can come in and make it even worse through indirect and direct effects too.
So scientists have been frustrated by the fact that, you know, often scientific reports aren't the kinds of things that people necessarily read, and the media sometimes will distill a news headline, a scientific headline, down to a sort of distorted, oversimplified headline. In this particular case, you've really been able to use data and data visualization to allow people to really see the big picture in a scientifically responsible way. Can you describe how you designed the presentation of this data?
Sure. Well, one of the great things about the study is that you can visualize it in maps, and it's nothing like a map and people looking at it to spark conversations and get people talking. We're very hopeful that by presenting the 314 most at-risk species on the audubon.org/climate website, that people will go, they'll see that birds in their own state or their own community are at risk, and that will drive conversations and move them to greater action. And it, really, our ability to project these complicated climate variables and the bird responses in easily understood maps, we think is going to really help motivate people to take action.
So in the 22nd century, we're really looking at a world full of crows, blue jays, and grackles.
Yeah, well, some birds are going to do better, that's for sure. And we found that 274 species weren't directly susceptible to climate the way the 314 were. On the other hand, even the birds that we might consider to be safe, if you want to think about it that way, can still be disrupted from what we're seeing here. One of the birds that's shown to be shifting and might even increase its range by 2,000% is the Mississippi kite. Right now, that bird is a colonial breeder. It's a raptor, eats small vertebrates like lizards, and its range is going to shift north. So the open question is, can the bird actually move its colonial mating system north to take advantage of the new climate? And importantly, what's it going to eat when it gets there? Maybe one of these stable species that it eats, it's actually going to be the thing that disrupts them the most. And so even stable species are going to be disrupted, and that's really the bottom line message.
Dr. Gary Langham is Chief Scientist of the National Audubon Society. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.